Programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Virginia Governor Mark Warner has now declared a state of emergency due to the approach of Hurricane Isabel. That storm has been downgraded to a Category 3 hurricane, but Warner says the Virginia National Guard, state police, and other state agencies are being put on full alert for what could be significant flooding as well as damage from high winds and tornadoes.
We've been through storms in the past. This one looks to be a much more major storm than what we've experienced in probably since the mid-80s. So let's be careful, be smart, and be prepared.
Warner says the state of emergency is a preemptive strike before the storm. Also, Navy warships moored in southern Virginia are pulling out of port today, getting out of Isabel's path. The Navy has also about 70 ships in the area. 30 of them, though, are in dry dock and can't be moved. Jets at Langley Air Force Base are also scheduled to fly out of that area today. A new report shows there was, in fact, no solid evidence Iraq possessed any weapons of mass destruction at the time the U.S. invaded back in March. That, at least the word today from ABC News, still, one former U.N. weapons inspector calls the report speculation. U.S. officials now say they have uncovered documents pointing to an Iraqi program for the development of banned weaponry. Meanwhile, today, the leaders of Britain, France, and Germany have announced a Saturday meeting set in Berlin to talk about Iraq's future. The United States has deployed Patriot anti-missile systems in South Korea, those systems designed to shoot down incoming ballistic missiles and cruise missiles, as well as enemy aircraft. The launchers in South Korea are upgrades that pack 16 missiles, four times as many as previous versions. The U.S. Army says the deployment is part of an $11 billion plan to enhance the defenses of the 37,000 U.S. troops currently stationed in South Korea to help deter an attack from the communist North. North Korea has yet to officially comment on the deployment. Today, though, a North Korean newspaper said the increasing U.S. military presence in South Korea was proof, quote, U.S. imperialists are the chief criminals wrecking the peace and security on the Korean Peninsula.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
A deadly end to a hostage standoff today in Japan. Three people were killed and at least 35 others injured in an apparent explosion. Police say a knife-carrying man took eight people hostage in a building in Nagoya, then reportedly poured flammable liquid over the area and threatened to set the office building on fire. The suspect, one hostage, and a police officer were reportedly killed. Analysts are expecting short-term interest rates to remain untouched today when the Federal Reserve Board meets to discuss possible rate changes. The nation's job market is still considered to be sluggish, but recent data shows the economy is slowly improving.
Oh, 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 ice cold milk and an Oreo cookie. They forever go together with a classic combination. When a dark, delicious cookie meets an icy cold sensation, like the one and only creamy, crunchy chocolate Oreo, keeps your milk from getting lonely. Oh, 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 the one and only.
Only Oreo, in classic or chocolate cream.
Oh, 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 the one and.
The United Nations Security Council is set to vote now on Israel's decision to expel Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. Israel has been backtracking on an earlier assertion by its vice premier Arafat's assassination was even an option. More on the story from correspondent Steve Mort.
The UN, which has long been divided on the Middle East conflict, will vote later on whether to support Israel's desire to expel Yasser Arafat. The UN has been long accused of being anti-Israeli, with the world body's human rights agency regularly condemning Israel for abuses carried out in the Palestinian territories. Whatever the outcome of the Security Council vote, however, it's unlikely to affect Israel's position that it sees the Palestinian president as an obstacle to peace. Steve Mort, Washington.
The U.S. is threatening to veto that Security Council resolution. American U.N. Ambassador John Negroponte says it doesn't go far enough in condemning terrorism by Palestinian militant groups, calling it very lopsided. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready! Take aim and fire! No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet. Bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome to our program. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network, live coast to coast, border to border, on both terrestrial radio stations and the Sirius satellite radio system, and also on several internet web stations. You can find us at radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and there are archives of the show at whiterosesociety.org. And if you would like to find a list of all that stuff, or drop into our chat room where we've got one of the wisest and most insightful, intelligent, incredible conversations going on the planet. You think I'm exaggerating, those of you who hear me say this over and over again. Go to TomHartman.com and just click on the chat room link. And then when you get into the trade forum there, click on the chat button. And boom, you'll be in and you will see that it is true. Welcome to our program. Our quote for the day from George Orwell.
During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act.
Indeed. Telling the truth, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, coast to coast, here on the IE America Radio Network. The mission of our program, talk radio for the rest of us. Does the Bush administration support our troops, or are they supporting Halliburton and the oil industry? Our question for the first hour, we've got some news I want to get into. We're going to have a contest here in a little bit for another book to give away. So much to talk about. In our second hour, we're going to be how much harm will be done to democracy by the cynical exploitation of image and branding by the Republicans over substance and policy. And in our third hour, how can we protect our vote from hackers and computer error? And we're going to have on the line in our third hour, Representative Rush Holt. The congressman who has submitted to the House of Representatives has submitted a bill requiring that voting machines all produce a paper receipt. That's the good news. The bad news is I believe he only has about 40 sponsors, and my recollection is that you have to have about 180 or 190 sponsors in order for a bill to safely make its way out of committee and onto the House floor. So we will talk with Representative Holt and see what he has to say about all this, what his take on it is. And I think this should be very interesting. Interesting stuff in the news. Boy, you know when the Wall Street Journal, when the right wing of the right wing
of the right wing goes after George Bush, you know he's in trouble. Here, this article, Al Hunt, in this column, Politics and People, in 9/11's Wall Street Journal. I clipped it out. I didn't have time to get to it on the show that day, and so it's kind of stayed on my stack because I think this is really, really important. It's a shame President Bush shuns regular press conferences, says Al Hunt in Mr. President Meet the Press and the Wall Street Journal, and that the news media barely objects. In 2.5 years, he's held only 9 formal news conferences, a record low for the modern presidency, says Al Hunt. Well, yeah, we all know that, and I think most of us suspect that we know the reason why. The reason why, of course, being that if George W. had to subject himself to rigorous questioning, he would fall apart. This is the most verbally incompetent president, I think, in the history of the United States. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's stupid. I disagree with all those people who say he's stupid. I think that he's a very kinesthetic person. I think he lives in his feelings much more than in his auditory region. And so auditorily, he gets tripped up all the time. But that's a whole other topic. Anyhow, Al Hunt says, the war on terrorism, you said, will require sacrifice. Other than men and women in uniform, whom will you call on to make sacrifices? See, he's posing the questions that should be posed to George Bush in a press conference and talks about, who's going to call us out? We've got to have a sacrifice. And then he goes in to talk about Medicare prescription drug plan. How about freezing? And I quote, instead, how about freezing the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, which would provide enough to pay for the Iraqi reconstruction and also a new prescription drug benefit? As Senator Joe Biden noted this week, just skipping the tax cut for the top 1% for 1 year would fund the president's $87 billion request. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, if Mr. Bush considers these lower taxes for the wealthy untouchable, then who instead will make sacrifices? A couple of the other questions he asks. Does the sanctity of the tax cuts and the reality of massive budget deficits crowd out even homeland security measures, such as protecting commercial airliners from shoulder-launched missiles? I'm telling you, these are the two big issues. There are 6,800 commercial aircraft in the United States that we could equip, as Israel does their commercial jets, and as Lufthansa is there, or British Airways is in the process of doing theirs right now, at the cost of about $10 billion to equip every single aircraft in the United States with one of these contraptions that senses when a missile is being fired at it and releases scatter stuff. It releases a flare or it releases a bundle of like metallic strips. It's kind of like strips of tinfoil. And the missile hones in on them and explodes harmlessly. But we're not doing that. We're not deploying surface-to-air missile countermeasures at all. Representative Steve Israel of New York is all upset about this. He says, and I quote, the president is leaving us exposed to a glaring vulnerability, end quote. How much would it cost $10 billion to protect all of our airplanes? How much would it cost to make sure that everything that comes into the ports of the United States is inspected at its point of departure by an American government employee, about $7 billion a year. We're talking a total of $17 billion a year to protect us from the two dangers that the intelligence community is telling us are the most likely, shoulder-fired missiles at airplanes and somebody smuggling a dirty bomb into the United States through one of our ports, only 2% of our inbound, port-bound traffic, by sea, are inspected. And Bush says, no, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. And you have to wonder why. There's a whole conspiracy industry being built around that question, of people thinking that George Bush is trying to set America up to get another hit because the last one helped him so much. He was in big trouble before 9/11. Big trouble. He had such bad ratings that if he had run for re-election, that he would have lost. Now, I am not one of those who thinks that he and Karl Rove are that sick. But the question, I think, does need to be asked, why? What's going on here? Another one here in this article by Al Hunt in the Wall Street Journal, one of the questions that he says should be posed. A broad-based consensus concurs with Republican Senator Chuck Hagel that the administration did a miserable job in post-war planning. Will there be any personal responsibility? And then he goes through all the failures. Cheney, Rumsfeld, all these chicken hawks, Wolfowitz. Rumsfeld was not chicken hawk. He served in the military. But anyway, all these neocons, let's say. And finally, who will give more financial support to the 9/11 al-Qaeda terrorists? Who gave more financial support, the Iraqi ruling class under Saddam or the Saudi Arabian ruling class? Very simple answer. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you would like to opine. And Dean in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is on the line. Dean, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I heard you mention, is the President administration interested in enriching Halliburton and so forth? And I guess I'd like to just bring up, I've been reading this book by Anthony Sutton, who was a fellow at the Hoover Institute in Stanford and wrote a number of books detailing the transfer of Western technology to Russia, to the Bolsheviks after the revolution there, by Western industrialists and related companies right under the nose of and in spite of injunctions against that by the U.S. government. And basically, they were all skull and bones people.
Yeah, well, you can go right back to 1943 when Prescott Bush his bank was shut down and seized by Roosevelt because he was doing the same thing with Hitler.
Right, and I think it's worth looking at associations, period, and seeing just who's who and what how these lines cross. But from my point of view, it seems like Skull and Bones has a lot to do. It's far from a fraternal organization and more of a some sort of foreign secret agency, since it's connected to a German.
I'd say it's an old boy network.
Yeah,
it very much is. I mean, there have been several good books written about it, and it's interesting. George Bush, in most of the cases when his businesses were failing and he was bailed out, he was either bailed out by former Skull and Bones members or by members of the Saudi royal family or the Bin Laden family. And
right.
You know, it's always one or the other.
It is, and I think it's just more transparent than ever. You know, with the internet and so forth, things are just more transparent. And if I was someone in a position of power like that, I'd be very careful about what I might have said or done, or, you know, maybe it's too late, but I would say that would be a fruitful line of research, is just to look at associations and whether from school or you know, things like Skull and Bones, and you see that's a pretty much of a...
Dean, there's a bunch of people doing that. I think it's rents.com. I may be wrong on that.
Oh, yeah, rents.com, sure.
Yeah, InfoWars. Yeah, InfoWars is another website. I mean, there's a couple of fairly non-kooky conspiracy websites. That is to say, they're looking into the things that historically have been branded lunatic fringe conspiracy nut stuff, only they're doing it in a way that isn't lunatic fringe conspiracy nut way. You know, I mean, they're using good journalism, and they're really digging into this stuff, and they're finding these connections. And, yeah, it's there.
Well,
thanks, Dean, for the call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Maple Syrup Company, I got to tell you, this is the big news in Vermont. This is the big news in Vermont, and the reason I'm leading, there's a reason why I'm leading today's program with this story. This is a headline in the Montpelier newspaper. This, yeah, big crime here. And we haven't had a murder in this state in so long, I can't remember. But big headline, Maple Syrup Company pays $10,000 fine for mislabeling. A St. Johnsbury company has paid a $10,000 fine after the State Agency of Agriculture accused it of violating the state's maple syrup labeling laws. Now, why is that significant? Because four people in Vermont have died in the last 6 months in Iraq. Isn't it sad in our state? And I think, you know, right across America, we're seeing this, that the biggest losses very often are domestic, or are very often, it's just what we're losing in Iraq, and we're going to get into this in some detail in this. Our question, if you'd like to win a copy of Unequal Protection, the book that I wrote, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights, be the first person to call with the correct call during this break to this question. This is from disinfo.com, another one of those great websites. The U.S. military is developing biological weapons that are prohibited under international treaty and federal law. True or false? Just call 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Shar Jones, our wonderful engineer there, one of the extraordinary human beings on Earth, will take your call and tell you whether you are right or wrong, and if you're right, she'll hold you on the air and we can say hi. And then we got another call, Phil from Florida. Phil, we'll pick you up right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned for more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Have you tried Maxwell House's freshest coffee ever? Today, Maxwell House, and only Maxwell House, comes with the unique Fresh Seal. Fresh Seal locks flavor and aroma in the coffee. To top it off, Maxwell House's easy open can lets you enjoy that fresh taste without a can opener. For freshness you can taste, choose Maxwell House. It's our freshest coffee ever, and a great way to make every day good to the last drop.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. During times of universal deceit, said George Orwell, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Telling the truth here on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman, and we have Phil from Florida has apparently won our contest here. Phil, our question was, true or false, the U.S. military is developing biological weapons that are prohibited under both international treaty and under United States federal law. Phil, what's the answer?
Well, first, just want to give you the greeting that is common here in the United States, Sig Heil. And indicate to you that I sure hope so. I sure hope so, because everyone's trying to get us. In fact, some people have found communists under their beds, and they have taken care of them. But, you know, we are threatened, of course.
Now, you know people who have found communists under their beds?
Yeah. I think Rush Limbaugh found one and had his wife beat it with a stick. His third wife, by the way.
Yeah.
The reason I called is I want to talk about an interesting thing that I see on the Drudge Report today.
Yeah, hang on just a second, Phil. I want to close up the contest
here.
And in your mind, your answer to this, true or false, the U.S. military is developing biological weapons that are illegal under international treaties and under United States law. Yes or no?
Yes.
True. Yeah, okay, true. You won.
Thank you.
Here's what at disinfo.com, one of those great sites that has been connecting the dots, they say, under the Freedom of Information Act, the nonprofit group The Sunshine Project unearthed documents from the Navy, Air Force, and Marines, and the Department of Energy, kind of a euphemism, they're the ones who make atomic bombs, which proposed developing new bioweapons explicitly for offensive purposes, attacking the enemy. The documents also mention such research that they've already performed. This is a direct violation of the International Biological and Weapon Toxins Convention and the federal law that implements it in the United States.
Yeah, and who's going to enforce that law?
Right. Well, the UN is supposed to enforce that law, and they pass a resolution and say, okay, invade that country for having weapons of mass destruction that are banned and prohibited both by the UN and by that country's laws. And, maybe Iraq will introduce a motion to that effect. Okay, Phil, what you want to call about?
The right, in terms of the media, what they do is they build straw men.
Sure.
And then they attack them. And they never go, and they never are required to go back and say, well, I guess I was wrong. And a perfect example is this guy, Gertz. I don't remember what the guy's first name is. But he's a right-wing crackpot that writes for the Washington Times, which was owned by a convicted felon, Young Sung Moon, who indicated...
He's not just a convicted felon, he's the reincarnation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's reincarnation of Jesus Christ, of course. But here it is. About 2 weeks ago, he indicated that in celebration of the regime in North Korea, when they have their celebration in the parade, they will be showing their long-range missiles that have the capability of delivering a nuclear payload to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the parade happened. There were no rockets.
Right.
Okay.
But the impression
I don't see that on Drudge's reports that Gertz was wrong. Here we got another one today. U.S. sanctions Moscow-owned firm for Iran sales. Who knows if that's true or not? I remember, I used to live in California, and I remember in November of 1999.
Got about a half a minute left here, Phil.
He got on the radio on this old right-winger talk show host. His name was, I can't remember. It was in KIEV out of Glendale.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
George Putnam. And he indicated that the Soviet Union didn't have the correct software. The turn of the century was going to make all the missiles launch perhaps
against the United States because they weren't up to, you know, they weren't
another
up
false alarm, right?
Yeah, and of course, I don't remember any missiles hitting the United States in January.
Yeah, these guys live on fear and paranoia, Phil. Spot on, you're absolutely right. We've got to take a break. Thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The United Auto Workers has a tentative new contract with Daimler Chrysler, but the union's lips are sealed on details of the agreement. Announcing the deal yesterday, UAW President Ron Gettelfinger would say only that the contract sets the framework for similar pacts with other U.S. auto producers and their parts suppliers.
Our bargaining committees at General Motors and Delphi, at Ford and Visteon, will continue to negotiate. They will stay at the bargaining table until a tentative agreement is hammered out with those companies.
Gettelfinger has promised to hold the line on medical benefits as automakers seek to shift rising health costs onto workers. The UAW also hopes to win greater rights to organize workers in the auto industry's increasingly non-union array of parts suppliers. Meanwhile, pensions are playing an important role in the talks. According to the credit rating agency Fitch Ratings, U.S. auto-related industries ended the 2002 fiscal year with pension plans underfunded by more than a collective $30 billion.
Nike settles a false advertising lawsuit rather than risk the liability of a trial. Mark Caskey brought court action in 1998 under California's false advertising law, claiming Nike had lied to customers and the public about its use of sweatshop labor in Asia. Nike tried to have the suit dismissed on free speech grounds but lost in the state courts. Settlement talks began earlier this summer when the U.S. Supreme Court refused to rule on an appeal. The company will pay $1.5 million to the Fair Labor Association, which works around the world to keep tabs on sweatshop labor. It will also spend $500,000 at the factories of its Asian contractors to fund education programs and low-interest loans for factory workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Joe Scarborough, the right-wing crackpot who had been in Congress and finally left those hallowed halls in 2001. I don't frankly know if he was voted out or if he just chose to leave. Be interesting to find out. But anyhow, he's now one of the... You'll recall the most highly rated show in the history of MSNBC, or certainly, if not the most highly, one of the most highly rated shows was the Phil Donahue Show. And just before the war, or the invasion of Iraq, it's hard to call something a war when the other side has been, their Air Force has been taken out, they've been inspected by the UN to make sure that they don't have any weapons, and then you call it a war. But anyhow, the invasion of Iraq, just before that, this consultant wrote a very long and thoughtful piece to the head of General Electric and NBC and Microsoft, saying that Phil Donahue was liberal and that the whole nation was going to swing to the right. It's going to go conservative, you know, gung-ho behind George, and that Phil Donahue was a political liability. And so they dumped a show that got vastly higher ratings than Joe Scarborough had or any of their other hosts. They dumped Phil Donahue, and they've got these right-wing hosts. I will eschew adjectives or other nouns, and like Joe Scarborough, and he does his Rat of the Week. Right? Isn't that cute? And it turns out that when Joe left Congress, he went into business with another. Joe's an attorney. He went into business with another attorney, a guy named Mike Pampantino, and they're basically kind of ambulance chasing lawyers. They are those nasty trial lawyers that the Republicans like to beat up. And his company and his law partner, Pampantino, are suing a wood preservative manufacturer named Osmose. And so what happens? Scarborough gets his business partner on his show, doesn't tell anybody that that's who this guy is, you know, presents him as a lawyer. And this guy says that Osmose, this company that they're suing, has figured out how to poison our children and make a profit in the meantime. And the Wood Preservative Science Council, which represents Osmose, says, this is what happens when you put someone on with no journalistic experience. It's the arrogance of power. This guy thinks the rules don't apply to him. And tragically, I think they are right. So Scarborough has correctly named himself as the Rat of the Week. When are these guys going to... so sad. So sad. Phil, you won the book during the last break, and Shar had asked you to stay on the line so that she could get your address so she could mail you the book, and you didn't. So please call back, 1-800-TALK-YES, and give Shar your mailing address so she can mail a book to you, Phil. Phil in Florida. But on to the question. Does the Bush administration support our troops, or are they supporting Halliburton and the oil industry? What is going on here with the Bush administration? Conservatives love to claim that being against the Bush foreign policy gives aid and comfort to the enemy. I mean, just the other day, just this weekend, Rumsfeld was doing this dance again. I mean, they completely forget Teddy Roosevelt saying that the highest form of patriotism is to question your government. I mean, that's what this country was founded on, after all. The core principle of American democracy is having at least a two-party system, what's called an adversarial system, where one party's always going to keep the other party honest. But I'm telling you, these people are not interested in democracy. They want a one-party state. The modern-day cons, the modern-day conservatives, have more in common with Trotsky and Stalin. Well, not Trotsky, Trotsky, with the Bolsheviks and with Stalin than they have in common with Jefferson or Teddy Roosevelt. They are aggressively trying to destroy the Democratic Party so that they can have a one-party state. And I'm telling you, that is the most dangerous thing that could happen to this nation. And it has been warned about from Thomas Jefferson When Jefferson was attacked by Adams, did he cry and scream and squeal and say, you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy? No. Now, when Adams was attacked, our second president, John Adams, he responded by passing a Patriot Act called the Alien and Sedition Acts and putting 17 editors of newspapers in prison. And he put the congressman from Vermont in prison for speaking out against him. The guy ran for a second term in office from his prison cell in Vergennes, Vermont, and won. But John Adams was the last president of the United States until George W. Bush to strongly and consistently try to make the argument that there shouldn't be a second party and that anybody who speaks against him is committing treason or traitor or is giving aid and comfort to the enemy. John Adams really believed there should not be a two-party system. James Madison in his younger days believed this. A lot of them believed this. In Federalist Number 10, Madison goes on and on and on about the dangers of factions, of parties, of political parties forming. But once, and this was before the United States was founded. I mean, you know, it was after the Revolutionary War, before the Constitution had been ratified, he's writing these things. And then, you know, as Adams was president, there, these factions had developed. There was the Federalists, which are sort of, you know, they were basically all of us guys who created this country under the Washington administration. When Adams came in, it formed into a political party, in part in response to the fact that the Republicans and the Democrats had spun off from the Federalists and had become opposition parties. And Jefferson pulled them together into one party called the Democratic Republicans, which is today called the Democratic Party. The oldest continuously functional political party in the history of the world, the Democrats. And ever since then, ever since Jefferson was president from 1801 to 1809, ever since then, every president has known and acknowledged, and both parties have always acknowledged, we must have an adversarial system in the United States. Otherwise, it is, I mean, just the realities of human nature, you are going to have abuses. And those times when only one party has had an absolute stranglehold on the government have been those times when we have committed the acts that we, in retrospect, are most ashamed of. Whether it was the Democrats under Franklin Roosevelt imprisoning the Japanese during World War II, or whether it was the giveaways to the railroads and the railroad bribery scandals of the Ulysses S. Grant administration. And now here we are again. So you have these conservatives saying that we're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. We don't need to worry about giving aid and comfort to the enemy when the Bush administration won't give aid and comfort to our own troops. I mean, you want to help. I mean, there's two ways you can do it, right? You can give aid and comfort to the enemy, or you can harm our troops. Now, just the other day, I know that there was another one of these right-wing talk show hosts who went on and on and on for several hours about how anybody who questions the president is harming the morale or talks about the morale of our troops is encouraging the Iraqis. That is such a juvenile, stupid argument. I mean, think about it logically for a minute. You're in Iraq. Let's say you're an Iraqi, and you're in Iraq, and you didn't like Saddam Hussein, but somebody else has come in and kicked him out. And now they're taking your oil, they're selling off your companies, your nation's businesses and infrastructure to American companies. Are you going to be happy? I mean, you know, I didn't vote for George Bush, and I don't support him. But I tell you, if Mexico invaded the United States, I would be there to fight. The talking about the morale of United States troops, you know, the Iraqis, the ones who are beating up us on us, they go, yeah, you know, if we were saying morale is great, everything is wonderful, our troops are having a great time over there, they're looking for more people to shoot, the Iraqi resistance would say, cool, we'll go get them. I mean, George W. tried that. Remember, he said, bring them on. Come on, no, we're afraid of nobody. Bring them on. That certainly gave some enthusiastic encouragement to the other side. So anyhow, there's the one thing that you can, on the one hand, you can give aid and comfort to the other side, And in my opinion, the suggestion that anybody who questions Bush and his policies is doing that is Hitlerian. It is the agenda of those who would seek a one-party state, who would stifle dissent. I'm telling you, these people are living in fear, this administration. The cons in this administration are absolutely living in fear. Because if they lose the grip on both the House and Senate, and so then committee chairs may go to Democrats, and then investigations may actually happen and be authorized and happen into Bush's Harkin Energy deal, Harkin Energy stock deals that make Martha Stewart look like a piker, his criminal acts, Cheney's criminal acts as head of Halliburton, cooking the books the exact same way that Enron did, and his million-dollar-a-year sweetheart deal that Dick Cheney is still receiving $1 million a year from Halliburton today. Can you imagine if Bill Clinton was getting $1 million a year from the Whitewater deal? They will start looking into. Ashcroft has got all of these. There are so many skeletons in the closet of this administration. I mean, you know, lying to America about a war. Clinton lied, nobody died. But look what happened when Bush lied. Char tells me Phil did call back and gave her his address for the book. He said he hung up because he was running off to chase communists. Good on you, Phil. Get them commies. Okay, so if somebody, maybe there is somebody giving aid and comfort to the Iraqis. Maybe. And Bill O'Reilly last night was suggesting it was France. What an idiot. I mean, what a pathetic argument to make. This just shows how vacuous, how empty. Anyhow, who is creating the real harm here? Well, I would suggest that when this administration cuts $28 billion from veterans' benefits in order to be able to pay for a tax cut for the rich, that, while not giving aid and comfort to the enemy, is certainly denying aid and comfort to our own troops. And they did it. They've also created, now get this, this is outrageous. This administration has created a new category called wealthy veterans. A wealthy veteran, here's the theory. Why should the Veterans Administration and the taxpayers pay for health care for people who are veterans who are wealthy? They can afford to pay for their own health care, thank you very much. Well, I think most of us would say, that makes sense. You know, Donald Rumsfeld served in the military. He's a multimillionaire. If he gets sick, should he go to the Veterans Administration hospital and say, taxpayers, take care of me? He's got millions. He's probably got hundreds of millions. He certainly has tens of millions. Let him pay for his own health care. Yeah, I agree. It makes sense. So what did they define as wealthy? All those people who make above a certain threshold have no access to veterans' benefits with regard to health care. How much do you have to earn to be a wealthy veteran so that you can't get health care in the Bush administration? You come back from Iraq, how much do you have to earn to not have access to the Veterans Administration hospitals? And when I tell you this number, it is going to shock you because it is going to make it so clear to you how out of touch this administration is with what it costs to live in America. George W., who has never had to balance a checkbook, who has never had to pay his own way. What was the old joke? He was born on third base and thought he'd hit a triple. $26,000 a year. If a veteran earns more than $26,000 a year, they are considered rich. And not eligible for health care. This is also an admission, I think, or a demonstration of how the military in America, sadly, is not so much these days made up of people who have joined out of patriotic fervor, although there certainly are many of them, and I salute them. But there are many, like Jessica Lynch, who joined the military because it was the only way that they could get a college education, or it was the only way that they could get a job. It was the only way they could get out of the ghetto or the barrio. It was their only option. And this is just an admission of this. Mexicans and Latinos are disproportionately put in dangerous jobs. They make up 9.4% of the armed forces, but 17% of all the jobs that involve handling weapons are done by Mexicans and Latinos in the United States military. What else has this administration done? They've cut imminent danger pay and family separation allowances. They were increased in April, actually. Nice PR move, but they're set to expire this month. And this Republican Congress may not renew them if there's not enough noise made. They don't want to renew them. Combined, this would give a soldier and his or her family an extra $2,700 a year if they're unlucky enough to be stuck in Iraq that long. The Republican House just voted itself a 2.2% pay raise or an extra $3,300 a year, but they're fighting over whether to give $2,700 a year to GIs who are in Iraq. Amazing. Does the Bush administration support our troops or Halliburton and the oil industry? This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more talk radio for the rest of us.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
The Business Trip by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between the last meeting and home, between 4 drive-thrus and the blob of ketchup on your favorite tie, between 60 dead bugs on your windshield, an empty window squirter, and a wiper blade gone awry. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
Call 1-800-800-8000 or visit super8.com. All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well, we
needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor? Right. It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our junkie on our chat room says, Tom, today the Senate delivered a strong 55-40 vote to roll back the FCC ruling on media agglomeration, or whatever you want to call it. And just in case you missed it, I hadn't caught that. Thank you, our junkie. However, I think we all know that George Bush has already said in advance that if that bill gets to his desk, which it looks like it will, because there's been so much pressure, much of it oddly coming from the National Rifle Association. See, the right is as concerned, the true conservatives are as concerned as the true liberals are about the evisceration, about the gutting of the possibility of liberty in the United States by the Patriot Act, by big media. This is not a partisan issue, my friends. But anyhow, back to the question, does the Bush administration support our troops or Halliburton and the oil industry? So $26,000 a year. If you earn over that, you are a rich veteran and not entitled to health care benefits. Some of the folks in our chat room, you go to TomHartman.com, you can find the chat room, say, anybody who makes more than $26,000 a year in Congress shouldn't get health care. After all, Congress worms all get free health care. And then they just raised their own pay. What about the president? How about if Halliburton, since $26,000 a year means rich, and Halliburton wants to reward Dick Cheney? You will recall they had a $400 million-plus loss before the Iraq War, and now this last year or this last quarter, they just showed a $70 or $80 million profit. Gee, surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise! They want to show their gratitude to Dick Cheney with his $1 million a year that they're paying him. Well, you know, heck, $26,000 a year is rich. Why don't they just pay him $26,000 a year? Then he can continue to be rich. They're also, this administration, they have jacked up the prices in the PXs because they privatized them. It used to be that one of the perks of being in the Army was being able to shop at the PX. The prices were lower than Walmart. It helped cushion the cost of living, considering the lousy pay soldiers got. Now, so that Halliburton and the other contractors who are taking over these things can profit, the prices are out of sight. In many cases, families at home are shipping to our soldiers things like, you know, foot spray and stuff, because it's cheaper here than it is at the PX. This is outrageous. This administration is harming democracy and harming our GIs. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003. Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder this weekend will host talks with French President Jacques Chirac and British Prime Minister Tony Blair to formulate proposals on dealing with a post-war Iraq. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The UN Security Council has so far failed to agree a way forward despite a meeting of the five permanent members in Geneva last week. Now the leaders of Britain, France and Germany are to meet in Berlin to discuss their positions ahead of the UN General Assembly. A French proposal that a government should be in place in Iraq within a month has been criticized by the US Secretary of State Colin Powell as totally unrealistic. The French and German leaders both fell out with Washington over the war in Iraq, and even though British Prime Minister Tony Blair is likely to be more receptive to their ideas, political analysts don't expect the three men to reach a common position. Suzanne Chislett, London.
The United Steelworkers of America is launching a media campaign aimed at President Bush's commitment to steel tariffs. More from reporter Ryan Astor.
With the International Trade Commission set to issue its mid-session review of President Bush's three-year steel tariff program, the Stand Up for Steel Coalition today is launching a television and radio ad campaign calling on the president to sustain his program. United Steelworkers International President Leo Gerard says the president must maintain his commitment to keep steel tariffs in place until 2005 in order to save jobs and avoid illegal trade. Gerard says the president's steel program is working. Since the tariffs were put in place 18 months ago, Gerard says billions of dollars have been invested and U.S. steel prices are at the lowest in the world. From Pittsburgh, I'm Ryan Astor reporting.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold is introducing a resolution to protect American jobs, the environment, public health, and safety. Feingold's resolution sets minimum standards for trade agreements.
The loss of jobs, especially manufacturing jobs, to other countries has been devastating to Wisconsin and to the entire country. We can't afford to pursue a trade policy that guts our manufacturing sector and sends good jobs overseas.
Feingold says his measure will preserve the ability of the United States to enact and enforce its own trade laws.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
The Republican-controlled Senate has now voted to overturn controversial new FCC rules easing ownership restrictions for media companies. The vote 55-40. President Bush, though, has threatened to veto the action. The revised measure now goes to the House of Representatives. Hurricane Isabel has now been downgraded to a Category 2 storm. Still, though, has 100-mile-an-hour winds. Much of the southeast U.S. still bracing for the effects of the storm that's expected to make landfall near the North Carolina Outer Banks by Thursday. Dare County, North Carolina, is already being evacuated. Authorities want residents out by noon today.
Mom, see you later.
Jason, who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home?
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well,
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Despite the ruling from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to postpone the California recall election, elections officials are moving forward with plans to hold the contest in 3 weeks. More from reporter Don Andrews.
The elections officers say the ruling was put on hold by the court for 1 week, so they're moving forward with plans to hold the election on October 7th until the appeal process is concluded.
Legally, the election has not been changed at all. It's still scheduled for October 7th.
Sacramento County Registrar Al Fawcett says he expects the U.S. Supreme Court to decide quickly if it will accept and or rule on the appeal of the Ninth Circuit ruling, so they'll know whether to continue preparing for the election. Fawcett says if the election is ultimately postponed until March, all absentee votes already cast will be tossed out.
I've been asked that question several times today, if we could just count those ballots in March if the election is delayed until then. And the answer is no, we can't, because it's an entirely different contest.
Voters can still register and vote absentee while the ruling is being appealed. Don Andrews, Sacramento.
California's Republican Party chairman says he's not surprised at all by the court-ordered delay. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable in 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And do you want to live in the Matrix, or do you want to take the pill? This is the Tom Hartman radio program, the pill that will help you escape the Matrix. Thanks to the folks in the chat room for the idea. What a great slogan. How much harm will be done to democracy by the cynical exploitation of an image and branding over substance and policy by the Bush administration? I want to get into that this hour. Next hour, we're going to have on Representative Rush Holt, who's going to talk about computerized voting machines. A couple of quick things first. Chickenhawkcards.com. I got an email here from Jerry and Lisa Vasilatos. And they said, my wife Lisa and I are trying to publicize our website at www.chickenhawkcards.com. I can tell you, these things are a hoot. The chicken hawks, of course, are people who are all in favor of war, but somehow manage not to serve. You know, Rush Limbaugh with a boil on his butt. Dick Cheney saying he had other priorities at the time of the Vietnam War. In fact, here's the list of the folks on the cards. In spades, going from ace down to two, Dick Cheney, Richard Pearl, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Ari Fleischer, Bob Barr, Ken Starr, Andrew Card, Antonine Scalia, Mitch McConnell, Pat Robertson, Gary Bauer, and Bob Nay and Walter Jones. Hearts, from ace down to two, Karl Rove, John Ashcroft, Catherine Harris, Bill O'Reilly, Phil Graham, Jeb Bush, Ken Edelman, Don Evans, Steve Forbes, Don Nichols, P.J. O'Rourke, Ted Nugent, Alan Keyes. Diamonds from Ace to Two, Elliot Abrams, Newt Gingrich, Lynn Cheney, Britt Hume, Ted Olson, Bob Dornan, Saxby Chambliss, Michael Ledeen, Dennis Haster, Tony Snow, George Will, Michael Wiener, also known as Michael Savage, and Jerry Falwell. And clubs going from Ace down to Two, Paul Wolfowitz, Bill Bennett, Ann Coulter, Roger Ailes, Tom DeLay, Trent Lott, John Bolton, Roy Blunt, Tim Hutchison, Mark Suter, Clarence Thomas, Dan Quayle, and Matt Drudge. And I bought a deck of these cards, and they are great. Chicken Hawk cards. This is not a paid endorsement. It's just a cool product and a great website. www.chickenhawkcards.com. Check it out. And I don't know if you can give them feedback or not. If you can, if there's some way to say hi to them, tell them that I pass along my best regards and recommend them. Teddy Roosevelt, here's the quote, by the way. In fact, I found it on the chickenhawkcards.com website. Patriotism, this is Theodore Roosevelt, 26th President of the United States. Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else. There's a whole movement. I've been hearing from people who are sending emails to whatever the network was that had Dick Cheney on this weekend. I was giving a speech at the time in Washington, D.C. at the GRA conference, and so I missed it. But apparently somebody, I think it was, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about on Meet the Press, and who just gave him a pass and allowed Cheney to go on and on about, well, yeah, we think there's a link between Iraq and 9/11. And he was citing things that have not only been debunked, but our own government has said, no, those were lies, sorry. I mean, lies. And he didn't call him on it. Didn't call him on it. Tim Russert, there we go, I'm 1800, our chat room, just let me know. It's Tim Russert. And so a lot of folks are starting to send emails to the network Russert is on. Maybe one of the folks in the chat room can tell me which network that is. I thought it was NBC, but I'm probably wrong. And say, come on, what's the deal? If you're going to ask questions, why don't you ask, you know, follow through. You know, give these guys some, hold them accountable. These are our employees. Hey, here's a little bit of trivia I learned at the GRA conference this weekend from historian Christopher, I'm losing his last name now. Anyway, who was the last president? This is not a contest question. I'll just pose it and then I'll answer it. Who was the last president to say while in office that he worked for the people? That he was an employee of we the people, of you and I. Who was the last president to overtly and frequently express the sentiment that he was an employee of the people and had to serve them? The answer? Drum roll. Abraham Lincoln. Shocking, eh? Anyhow, it's multitasking. Yeah, Russert's on NBC. Thank you. Thank you, Sambo. I appreciate that. Good one. It's difficult to multitask, so I'm going to go back to monotasking here. How much harm will be done to democracy by the cynical exploitation of image and branding over substance and policy by the Republican Party? The conservatives wrap themselves in the flag while they are betraying the foundations of the American spirit. Cons salute the flag and yell, support our troops, while making life harder for them. Karl Rove does his whole smoke and mirrors routine. Get George Bush, get that platform right in front, just a particular way with Mount Rushmore in the background. And they must have spent half a day getting where he was speaking and where the press was, this very narrow little slot that the press had to be standing in and take their pictures, so that Bush's face was always lined up with the presidents on Mount Rushmore and they had them far enough away that the depth of field, it was just perfect so that it looked like he was one of the... I mean, they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the lighting when he spoke at the Statue of Liberty. Just on the lighting, they had a boat come in with the stadium lights on it just to light, you know, just to light the Statue of Liberty and to light the scene around it so it would make a good photo op. You will see it in 2004 on those campaign commercials, and you paid for it. Historically authoritarian societies. We were talking earlier about fascism and you know, one-party states. Historically authoritarian societies use national myths to rally the people to worship the state like it's a religion. See, think about this for a minute. You got like O'Reilly out there, you know, in his business partnership with Mel Gibson, promoting this new movie and ranting and claiming that single-handedly he turned this Ten Commandments thing in Alabama into a national issue. Religious demagoguery of the in my opinion, the most offensive and dangerous kind. But these guys, these cons are also engaging in political in a different kind of religious demagoguery, in which they are elevating their view of our nation to iconic status and saying, this shall not be challenged. Hitler did this. Stalin did this. Mao Zedong did this. And now the conservatives are aggressively doing this, saying, how dare you question what's going on? How dare you say that? No, this guy, those who speak poorly of what this administration are speaking poorly of the country. I remember before the invasion of Iraq that on some commentator on CNN, one of the regular news people, said something about somebody who was speaking out against the war and as if they were reporting and said, you know, well, yeah, so-and-so is opposed to America as well. Not opposed to this administration. Not opposed to this administration's policies. Not opposed to the war in Iraq. Opposed to America. Nonsense. See, that's the big lie. I love this country. I would do just about anything for this guy. I am doing this program for this country because I want this country to be a nation that I am proud of and in which my children and my grandchildren can grow up and have the same blessings of liberty, as the founders said, that I was given. And a one-party state run by cons is not it. It is a danger to democracy. I'm telling you, these people are dangerous to democracy. They're treating the state as a religion. We are actually witnessing how people create their own gods out of an idea. They are violating the first commandment. They're showing more reverence to a cloth flag than to the principles that it stands for. I want to share with you. This was, you know, widely circulated when it came out, but there's a little zinger to the story that you may not have known about. Charlotte Aldebaran, 12 years old, wrote an essay about the flag. She wrote, I'm only going to edit a couple sentences out of it, where she talks about how important the flag is, and you can't, you know, it's against the law to let it touch the ground, and you know, she says, you can tell just how important this cloth is because when you compare it to people, it gets much better treatment. Nobody cares if a homeless person touches the ground. A homeless person can lie all over the ground all night long without anyone picking him up, folding him neatly, and sheltering him from the rain. School children have to pledge loyalty to this piece of cloth every morning. No one has to pledge loyalty to justice and equality and human decency. No one has to promise that people will get a fair wage or enough food to eat or affordable medicine or clean water or air free of harmful chemicals. But we all have to promise to love a rectangle of red, white, and blue cloth. Betsy Ross would be quite surprised to see how successful her creation has become, but Thomas Jefferson would be disappointed to see how little of the flag's real meaning remains, wrote 12-year-old Charlotte Aldebaran. She submitted this, it was an essay that she had to write for school, and her teacher punished her for being, quote, unpatriotic, end quote. We are seeing nationalism, the ugly face of nationalism. I mean, you could argue there is good nationalism and bad nationalism. This is the most virulent form. This is a toxic thought virus. What blows my mind, I'm walking down the street or driving down the highway, and somebody goes by. One person in an SUV, Now, here in Vermont, there are some people who drive SUVs or things close to them. Actually, usually they have four-wheel drive pickup trucks. For legitimate reasons, we have dirt roads here. Our driveway was a half mile long through the forest. It dead-ended into our house, and it climbed a mountain on the way up there. And it itself came off a dirt road. And we had to have four-wheel drive to get in and out during mud season. There was just no way. You got 6-8 inches of mud. So, you know, there are parts of the United States where having four-wheel drive makes sense. But the vast majority of people driving SUVs do not fall into that category. And whenever I see an SUV with an American flag in it, it makes me so sad. Because it is the SUV. I mean, this is such hypocrisy. SUVs are one of the main reasons why we're dependent on foreign oil, why we're giving all this money to Saudi Arabia that they're giving to the Wahhabists who are training the Osama bin Laden's people. I think that at some subconscious level, there's this notion that if you put a flag on your car, it blesses it and you'll be safe. You know, it's that religion. This is dangerous stuff, folks. Putting the con in conservative, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
It's always reassuring to learn that top White House officials are operating today in the time-honored tradition of so many Washington public servants. They are resigning to become high-paid corporate lobbyists, cashing in on their government connections. Take our brand-new Homeland Security Department. Please, take it far away and bury the whole bureaucratic, autocratic monstrosity in a landfill where it will eternally burp gas but otherwise won't bother us. Unfortunately, there it is, alive in Washington and gorging on some $40 billion of our tax dollars each year. The Homeland Czar is former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge. Working out of the White House, Ridge had four top deputies to help him create the Homeland Security Department. Did his inner circle move with him into the new agency? No, no, Pollyanna. All four are now lobbyists, helping corporate clients grab a chunk of the billions of dollars that HSD is now doling out in fat government contracts. When asked by a reporter about the obvious conflict of interest involved here, one of Ridge's former aides said, "This conversation is over," and hung up. Another was more forthcoming, noting that not only did she have great access to Ridge and other top HSD decision makers, but also that, quote, "all of us are very close friends with the governor and see him on many different occasions, not just professionally." Gosh, what a cozy world Washington is. Homeland Security is a bloated bureaucracy that won't make you and me one bit more secure. But it will secure billions in federal boondoggles for connected corporations. It's been dubbed a huge honeypot for lobbyists. And one enthusiastic lobbyist representing such fat cat military contractors as Lockheed Martin and Raytheon bragged, "We're trying to help our clients avoid the landmines and find the gold mines in Homeland Security. I'm very bullish on this." This is Jim Hightower saying, there you have it, your security dollars at work. Feel safer?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks to the sweet person who called 1-800-TALK-YES and asked Char for my email address. If you want to and said nice things about the program, if you like the show, be sure to call your local radio station and let them know, because they radio stations actually very rarely hear from their listeners. I mean, very rarely. Once a month, maybe, they might get a call from a listener. And, but it depends on the size of the station, of course, and the programming. But nonetheless, call them up and let them know that you like it. They do, particularly stations that are not rated by Arbitron. That's the only way they know if people are listening and if they like the program. And so I encourage you to do that. And thank you for that comment. And thanks, Char. Oh, and that person wanted to know how to reach me. If you just go to TomHartman.com, right there on that page, over on the left-hand side of the nav column, there's a Contact Tom. And you click on that, and it gives you my email address, my postal address, whatever you need to know to get in touch with me. And, of course, you can always post things on our message board, or you can drop into our chat room and say hi. It's all right there off TomHartman.com, as well as archives of this program and other things. How much harm will be done to democracy by the cynical exploitation by the Republicans of image and branding over substance and policy? You know, when the right can't win a debate, it grabs a common part of our society and claims it as theirs. Remember the 1992 Republican convention, that famous quote from Rich Bond? Speaking of the Republicans, speaking to the Republicans of the Republicans, and then speaking of the Democrats, the Republicans and Democrats, he said, "We are Americans. They aren't." Remember that? Big hoop-de-doop about that. But, boy, was that an applause line. See, if I was a Republican, and I heard, if I was a Democrat, and I heard somebody say that, I would walk out. If I was a Green and I heard somebody say, "We are the Americans, they're not," and I heard somebody, I would walk out. We need both sides. We need a strong conservative movement in the United States and an honest one. And in order to keep it honest, we need a strong liberal movement in the United States or progressive movement in the United States and an honest one. We need them both. They both have things to bring to the table. And a one-party state will benefit nobody. And this is what's so dangerous about this administration. This is the first administration in my lifetime that I have any recollection of. And in my read of history, the first administration since John Adams, which was, 1796 to 1801, 1797 to 1801, the first administration since John Adams, to aggressively try to sow, not just to have a healthy debate with and battle against the opposition, but to so completely gut the opposition, to neuter them, to ensure that they won't have offspring, to silence them. I mean, George Bush, he's only had, 9 press conferences in all the time he's been in office, the fewest of any president since radio came along. I mean, the early years of the 20th century. And even at that, what does he do with Helen Thomas, the grand dame of American journalism? The woman who has been keeping presidents honest since Harry Truman, as I recall. Certainly since Dwight Eisenhower. But I think Helen Thomas was working in journalism when Harry Truman was president. Could be wrong. She is one brilliant woman. She's still out there kicking. She's still writing great stuff that you can read on commondreams.org and other websites. And she asked a couple of uncomfortable questions. You know, see, it's been tradition in the White House since the Eisenhower years to always ask Helen the first question. And she asked a couple uncomfortable questions of George W., and boom, he hasn't asked her a single question since then, and they moved her to the back of the room. This is not healthy for democracy. This is democracy at risk. Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Labels on food products showcase a growing environmental effort on farms and ranches. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Organic food is the fastest growing sector in agriculture, and organic labels have always been an important part of marketing these earth-friendly products. Daniel Imhoff is the author of a new book, Farming with the Wild. He says the term organic often doesn't tell the whole story.
A number of eco-labels are now beginning to take on regional conservation issues. These can deal with a particular region, or they can actually also deal with a particular agricultural activity.
For example, Imhoff says some farmers in the Northwest are taking measures to cut pollution. They want consumers to know that they care about salmon in nearby rivers.
Salmon Safe is one that's gaining a lot of ground in the Northwest, where obviously the recovery of salmon and its link to agricultural activities along the rivers is a huge issue. And what they find with the Salmon Safe label is that it might not get consumers to necessarily buy it, but it's one more reason that they will.
Imhoff says some ranchers in the northern plains are trying to get along with coyotes, wolves, and mountain lions. They sell meats, wool, and other products bearing a label that says predator-friendly.
They've devised a whole new way of ranching, or maybe an old way. They're really working on their fencing. They're spending a lot more time in the fields. They're getting guard llamas, guard dogs, which can be highly effective against certain predators.
You can also find shade-grown or bird-friendly coffee. Imhoff says you can look for these tags on a growing variety of food products. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman exposing the conservative lies on the IE America Radio Network. Well, I guess you could construe that sentence one of two ways, couldn't you? I'll have to rewrite that one. Anyhow, the word homeland. How many of you, you know, it's hard to even remember now, but before 9/11, actually before the Patriot Act, I mean, remember the sequence of events. 9/11 happened. And then a few weeks later, suddenly this 400-500-600-page piece of legislation was dumped on the desk of all these legislators, and they were said, you know, pass it immediately. Nobody had time to actually read it. And then Pat Leahy, the head of the Democrat, who was the head of the Judiciary Committee, and Tom DeLay, the head of the Democrat, said, we don't think this bill is such a good idea. We don't think it should pass. Pat Leahy, my senator here from Vermont, started speaking out against the Patriot Act. And then a few days later, anthrax arrives in the mail at the offices of Tom DeLay and Pat Leahy only. And we now know, as a result of the 9/11 investigations, by the way, that on 9/11, on the afternoon of 9/11, George Bush started taking Cipro, the drug against anthrax, as did all the entire staff of the White House. What did they know that we don't know? Another one of those questions that will never be investigated until we have a two-party system again. But anyhow, so we had this homeland issue, this Patriot Act issue, and suddenly the Republicans started talking about the homeland. Had you ever heard the phrase homeland applied to the United States of America before 9/11? I hadn't. The history of this is really interesting. The Zionist movement back in the at the turn of the last century, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, were always talking about a homeland for the Jews in the diaspora, for the Jews who didn't have a homeland. They wanted to have a homeland of Israel. And the Nazi scholars noticed this and said, oh, this is interesting. They here's this entire, you know, they called them a race of people. It's an entire tribe of people all around the world who are being held together by this concept of homeland. Why don't we do that? And so in I believe it was November, it was 1934 in Nuremberg, in the Nuremberg rally, the word homeland was first introduced to describe Germany. And to describe Germany for Aryan, quote unquote, Germans. As a way of saying, of course, this is our homeland, everybody else is the other. This is the beginning of nationalism, of the most intentional, toxic, destructive, and dangerous form of nationalism. And in that speech, Rudolf Hess stood up and he introduced Adolf Hitler and he said in German, this man will restore to us our homeland, our Heimlach, our homeland he will return to us, Heil Hitler. And that was how he introduced Adolf Hitler at that. In fact, well, here it is. You can take a listen.
Deutschland, sein Ziel erreichen, Heimat zu sein. Heimat zu sein für alle Deutschen der Welt.
For all. Hitler! He says, a homeland for all the Germans in the world. For alles Deutschen in Welt. Yeah, listen to that. This is just
für
amazing.
Alle Deutschen der Welt.
For all the Germans in the and suddenly, after the Patriot Act and after the anthrax attacks, suddenly we're hearing the Rove administration using the phrase homeland. Never in my memory. I'm 52. I had never heard it before. Very, very, very interesting, let's say. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Does the Bush administration, are they harming democracy by the cynical exploitation of image and branding over substance and policy? Jeff, in Denver, what do you think about this? Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Well, first, two things. First, I love that thing, the Rove administration. And
yeah. I think I'll start using it.
By the way, I think you meant to say Tom Dash rather than Tom DeLay earlier.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway.
Thank you for keeping me straight here. I really appreciate that.
Yes, well, this part of the press doesn't let you go.
There you go.
But speaking of, like, Tim Russert and how he just let the Cheney go on.
Was it really that bad? I didn't see
it. It was. There's a transcript of it on the air, and it's Cheney basically just, many times, just says, I don't know. Had nothing answers, usually.
Amazing.
But even the so-called liberal NPR, it's bizarre to listen to at times with, like, say, Talk of the Nation, Neil Conan. I've seen him have conservative guests on there where he's actually finished the sentences for them, added to what they said, where someone might then present an idea, say, hey, why don't we try peace instead of war? And Neil will just go, oh, no one will want to do that. And he won't even discuss it. He won't explore expansive ideas.
Well, this is how thorough and how consistent and how deep in the psyche of America the conservative worldview has entrenched itself, although we have to acknowledge that it is still, particularly in the media, as you're pointing out, it is still only about 20-25% of Americans call themselves Republicans, and only about 15% call themselves conservatives in most polls.
Yeah.
But the media, they are so loud, and with particularly with right-wing talk radio, so hyper-repetitive, that people in the media, people in the press, seem to think that this represents America.
Yeah,
and most of America is just working as hard as they can to make enough money to pay the rent.
Well, if you look at most elections, they're won with 15-18% of the vote. And in the last, quote, Republican mandate of the last election, it was in many parts of the country, they were won by less than 1% of the vote. And especially when you can take into account the margin of error with voting machines, we don't know who won. But then, I'm trying to find out the total number of precincts around the country, but it looks like that most of the elections were won or lost by only about 5 votes per precinct.
Yeah.
There's no landslide.
Remarkable.
But the press, of course, portrays it that way.
Yeah.
And,
so that was your point. That was your point, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't
know
we actually don't know what's going on in the country because the press doesn't tell us. The press is, they're lapdogs. Yes,
and we need to start holding the press accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you calling me up and saying, hey, you meant to say Tom Daschle when you said Tom DeLay, and I thank you so much for that. We need to be calling our radio stations, our television stations, our networks, our media. Most of them you can contact by email. You can always call them. You can actually call NBC. They have a switchboard. They will refer you to somebody who will take your message or dump you into voicemail. But don't think that you're not heard.
Well, there's
because
one.
There are people out there who have to take and if they hear from enough people, they will respond. Last point, Jeff. We got a couple more callers.
Okay, yeah, there's one local radio station has a forum, and you see it's only about 5 people are on the forum all the time. They don't get much feedback.
Yeah, yeah, and they need the feedback. They really and truly do need the feedback.
They do listen.
Let your local media know what you're thinking, whether they've got this show on or not. Whatever they're doing, let them know. 1-800. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Jeff, for the call. 1-800-TALK. Yes, is our number. 1-800-825-5937. The Republicans claiming that a progressive tax system stifles the freedom of the successful. Come on, give me a break. This is. How many people who are making $1 million? Would fail to work a little harder to make $1.2 million, even if they had to pay more taxes. It just doesn't play with human nature. Even people say, well, yeah, that makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. Corporations giving large amounts of money to campaigns, and they're calling it free speech. Bush has been to 20 fundraising events in 12 states in Washington since mid-June and has raised more than $60 million so far in a campaign in the primaries, and he has no challengers. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. Monica in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Welcome, I'm sorry. Chris
Hello?
Is the next caller on the line. Oh, we got Monica there. Hey, Monica, what's up?
Good. Okay. Well, I've been listening to your show since Michael Malloy and Peter Werby are no longer on this time, and I really appreciate the formative nature of your show. And I'm very glad that you brought up the thing about homeland, because I was born in Germany, and I spent a lot of time in graduate school studying Nazism. And I hadn't connected why homeland makes me feel so uncomfortable, why that word makes me feel so uncomfortable. So I'm really glad you did it. And I wanted to point out one little thing that I noticed yesterday when they talked about Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
It's really curious. His name actually in German means black Negro.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes, yeah. Schwarz is German for black, and I know that.
And
ich kann Deutsch sprechen.
Sie können Deutsch sprechen, sehr gut.
Yeah.
Well, no
so
one's ever
pointed
that out.
Nur Deutsch sprechen die ganze Stunde. Okay, anyhow, back to English here, Monica.
Yeah, well, that's very good, which is sort of ironic, his thing about the way he talked about blacks and the things that are kind of being dug up, that his name means that.
Yeah.
So he may have some black in his own heritage somewhere, so it's sort of interesting. So I just wanted to thank you for bringing out these things, and I think it's very helpful and important.
Well, thank you, Monica. That's very kind of you, and I appreciate the comments. Thank you very much. 1-800-TALK, yes. 1-800-825-5937. Chris in New Mexico has a comment about the California recall election. Chris, is that?
Yeah, I do.
Am I missing something? It's interesting. Of course, the election now looks as if it's pushed back to March, and the conservatives are you know, squealing and puling and squinching up their little red faces and stamping their little feet, and I love it. But there is absolutely no way that California can become a, well, can have a Republican governor, not in this sense, if 1 week before the recall election, the polls show that Gray Davis is going to indeed be recalled whenever it happens, then 3 days before the election, he's simply going to resign. If he resigns, Bustamante automatically becomes governor, and all the millions spent simply disappear. Or am I missing
something? I'm wondering, do you know, Chris, whether the recall is written, legally is written in such a way that these people are voting to recall the man Gray Davis or the man in the office of the governorship?
Well, I assume it's the man, because originally the statute was written as a way to combat criminal activity, or at least malfeasance to the point where it becomes dangerous to the state. I'm assuming it has to be. They can't recall the governorship of the state. I assume it has to be the man.
No, but they could recall the person who's the resident of the governor's office. I just honestly don't know, and that could be a fly in the ointment. But it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one to raise.
Yeah.
Chris, thanks for bringing that up. It's this circus is not yet. You know, and the Republicans are all saying, "Please don't call it a circus. Please don't call it a circus. We're seriously trying to usurp democracy here. We need to take notes."
Yeah. Yes. Right.
1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937, and Tim in Hartford, Connecticut's on the line. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, I love with interest as people start attacking, especially the Sunday morning media, for lack of a better term. I watch shows like Russert and others, and I'm going, now what are the connections that most of these people have now Sunday mornings? A lot of them used to be Democrats.
Yeah.
Russert, certainly Stephanopoulos, you know.
Yeah. Chris, what's his name?
Even the guy on CBS is really a very liberal kind of person. These people aren't exactly doing the Republicans' bidding for the most part across the board. So when I'm just always puzzled by, you know, whether it's the fact that they feel that they can ask a few what they consider tough questions but not push it all the way as far as really taking the, you know, Cheney or someone to task for some of these kinds of questions.
I'll tell you why, Tim. There's really three reasons. One, number one, the media, at that level of the media, the Tim Russerts of the world, are not just reporters. They are celebrities. And the celebrities hang out with other celebrities at the cocktail parties in Washington, D.C., and their wives know each other or their husbands. And it's a very incestuous little club. And they don't want to commit a faux pas. They don't want to be the one who's at the dinner party who points out that, you know, somebody else just farted. I mean, that's really a good chunk of it. They don't want to cause offense. Number one. Number two, they understand, Tim Russert and all these guys understand, that their first job is not to ferret out the truth. Their first job is to produce good entertainment. And in order to produce good entertainment, they have to do what their focus groups, and we saw with MSNBC with the whole thing where they did the focus groups and whatnot on Phil Donahue, how driven these folks are by this perception. They have to do what they think people want, and of course they can be manipulated very easily now, as we saw in the Donahue thing, by just bringing in a right wing consultant. But anyhow, they've got that concern, and the third, and perhaps the most important of the three, is that their survival, Tim Russert's survival in television, depends on his being able to get the Vice President of the United States on the air. If he can't get Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice, if he can't get these guys to return his phone calls and show up on his program, he's toast. He'll be replaced tomorrow. And he knows that if he pushes them too hard, they will refuse to do another interview with him, which means it will be the end of his career.
Well,
so I don't think
any
of this has to do with Democrat or Republican, and I don't think anything of it has to do with conspiracy. It has to do with show business.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying that, you know, even Chris Matthews, there's three or four of them that have these kind of connections in the past. And you know, it's just absolutely, you know, puzzling to me. I mean, I understand that they have to have two Ann Coulters or someone like that on because people think that that's sexy, but it's also the demand for this, for the tougher kinds of inquiries on these things instead of the softball discussions of George Will talking about baseball on a Sunday morning, those kinds of, soft, light entertainment kinds of things. I think that I've also seen the surveys saying people want more hard news, more local.
Yeah,
and
the demand has to drive from us. Tim, I agree with you. Your point is well made, and I thank you for calling and making it. And I would say that we need to be expressing our outrage that Tim Russert is more concerned about whether he can show up at a cocktail party with Dick Cheney or whether Dick Cheney will come on his program again. He's more concerned with that than he is with the truth. He's more concerned with that than he is with the future of democracy in America. And these are big issues. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Terry in Virginia is on the line. Terry, we've just got about a minute left. What's up?
Okay. I was curious. You seem to have been on the bandwagon, if you will, with a lot of people and kind of bashing the fundraising of the Republicans presently when the reform was actually pushed and passed by the Democrats. Why is it that, now the Democrats are whining just because they're not able to raise the same level of funds?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, you seem to have been putting down the fact that the president was going out and raising funds, even though he doesn't have a challenger in the primaries. And yet all of the things that he's doing perfectly within the realms of the new fundraising laws that were pushed by the Democrats.
Sure, sure. God bless him. He should raise as much money as he wants. I think the rules are wrong, frankly, and I think it's an indication of how weird this whole situation has become. Thanks, Terry, for your call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-DEAL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-DEAL today.
Oh, 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 ice cold milk and an Oreo cookie. They forever go together with a classic combination. When a dark, delicious cookie meets an icy cold sensation, like the one and only creamy, crunchy chocolate O-R-E-O keeps your milk from getting lonely. Oh, 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 the one and only.
Only Oreo in classic or chocolate cream.
Oh, 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 the one and only.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this. And
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
For united we stand, divided we fall. And if our back should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The pill that will help you escape the matrix, the Tom Hartman radio program. Well, Terry in Virginia, how come the Democrats are whining and complaining about how much money George Bush has raised and is raising? I think one of the reasons why the Democrats are whining and complaining about it is because George Bush is not defending the homeland. That wonderful word. He's not defending the United States of America. He has put aside suggested measures to protect our airplanes from surface-to-air missiles. He won't spend the money on it. He won't spend the money to protect our ports. He won't give the money to our first response. He wants to give the money as a tax break to the rich so that he can show up at a dinner where his pioneers, who bundled $2,000 contributions into half-million-dollar stacks of wads of money, can hand it to him. And he wants to do it while you and I are paying for much of his travel and promotion. He hasn't gone to a single funeral of one of our men or women who died in Vietnam. You'll recall Bill Clinton attended every funeral of every person who died when he was in office, every person who died in combat when he was in office, and there were quite a few of them. George has got time to take a month-long vacation in Crawford, but not the time to go to a funeral. The Democrats, by the way, are raising money quite effectively. When you aggregate all the money that has been raised by all the Democratic candidates, it's roughly equal to what George Bush has raised so far. So I'm not complaining about it. I just think it's interesting, and I really would like an answer to the question, what's he going to do with that money? Because he doesn't have an opponent. It's going to be real, you know, it's not that he owes me an answer. I mean, we're all going to find out. We're going to see it. How is that money going to, are they going to do Nixonian dirty tricks and fund ads that seem like they're from Democrats attacking other Democrats? I mean, is that what he's going to use it for? I don't know. I wouldn't put anything past him. Louise just handed me a thing off Slate. How will the recall work? If Gray Davis resigns, what happens? It looks like whoever gets elected in the recall will take Bustamante's place if Bustamante fills in for Gray Davis. Who knows? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the silence.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. Hurricane Isabel has been downgraded to a Category 2 storm. Top winds have dropped to 105 miles an hour. Still, forecasters warn this is a major storm and could be a killer. One North Carolina resident says the storm is unpredictable.
Storms you have to respect and you have to leave, and hopefully you are able to survive it and come back to something.
Much of the southeastern U.S. is now bracing for Isabel. Dare County, North Carolina is being evacuated. Some of the 40 or so warships and submarines based at Hampton Roads, Virginia, are heading out to the safety of the open sea, and Air Force and Navy planes are also on the move. Retired General Wesley Clark is expected to announce he'll be a candidate for the 2004 Democratic presidential nomination. Supporters say the former NATO commander will make the announcement tomorrow in Little Rock, Arkansas. Meanwhile, North Carolina Senator John Edwards officially announced his candidacy today. One of the planks in his platform is providing universal health care for children.
What I want to do is make it the law of the land that every single child in America is required to be covered by health insurance.
Edwards also says he'll campaign for free college tuition to students who work at least 10 hours a week. The director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics says the federal courts made a mistake in delaying next month's California recall election. Dr. Larry Sabato says the court decision is offensive to voters.
This decision is yet another example of the reason why many Americans are losing faith in the judiciary. The judges are intervening in situations where they really should hold back.
Sabato says other California issues could affect the recall initiative. German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder is set to host talks with his counterparts from Britain and France aimed at finding an agreement on Iraq. The meeting is scheduled for Saturday in Berlin. More in a moment.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are an airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the trunk.
And where are we going, Vince?
You know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Oh, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Tire iron.
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
New Patriot anti-missile systems have been deployed in South Korea. They're designed to fire missiles to intercept incoming missiles and aircraft. North Korea has yet to comment on the deployment officially. Pyongyang did, however, say the U.S.-led exercises to stop and search ships suspected of carrying weapons of mass destruction were a, quote, prelude to nuclear war. The U.S. is threatening to veto a U.N. Security Council resolution demanding that Israel not hurt or deport Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. America's U.N. ambassador says the resolution doesn't go far enough in condemning terrorism by Palestinian militant groups. Wall Street, the Dow's up 40, the Nasdaq better by 20. More after this.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The controversial espresso tax goes to a vote today in Seattle. It puts a 10-cent tax on espresso drinks sold in the city. Supporters say early childhood education programs for some 5,000 children would benefit. Charlie Sheen's expected to be a father again. TV Guide reports the ex-Spin City star and his wife, actress Denise Richards, are expecting their first child early next spring. Sheen has an 18-year-old daughter. Madonna says she's pleased with the evolution of her writing career. The Material Girl offers the contrast between her latest, The English Roses, a children's book, and her previous 1992 work, Sex.
I look back at the journey that I've made from then until now, and I'm actually quite proud of my journey, because the Sex book was about me and saying, hey, look at me, and the children's books were about hopefully imparting some wisdom to people, to children.
English Roses hit the stores yesterday. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. Every summer, callers on the Car Clinic Network ask what's causing that odor when I turn on my air conditioner. And the answer? Bacterial growth in the AC system. The good news is there's an ingenious process from BG Products that cleans and disinfects your entire ventilation system without having to dismantle it. You'll breathe easier with a BG ventilation service, and your car will smell like new. To find a shop that performs this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, on the IE America Radio Network, on the Sirius Satellite Radio System, across the world. This is Tom Hartman on the, well, we just said that, didn't we? Will, what's going on with these electronic voting machines? Those of you who listen regularly know that I've written a couple of op-ed pieces on commondreams.org, and one, I wrote one that was mailed out, a month or so ago by moveon.org to about 1.7 million people, called "Is the Theft of Your Vote Just a Chip Away?" about this issue of electronic voting machines. And the shining star in this issue in the United States House of Representatives is Representative Rush Holt, Democrat from New Jersey, the 12th District of New Jersey. He's the sponsor of the Voter Confidence and Increased Accessibility Act of 2003, which requires electronic voting machines to leave a voter-verified paper trail. Representative Holt, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, it's great to be with you, with someone who promotes democracy the way you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Tell, just for our listeners who aren't familiar with it, just give us a snapshot of the bill and what you're trying to do with it.
Sure. Let me state the problem. Under the new Voting Act, it's known as the Help America Vote Act. It was passed a year or so ago. Jurisdictions, counties all over the country are hurrying out to buy new voting machines to get rid of butterfly ballots and punch cards and all of that. And many of them are buying electronic touchscreen voting machines. So a voter goes in there and, you know, wants to vote for Tommy for dog catcher and Susie for clerk or whatever it is, and pushes those names and walks out of the booth and says, now, how do I know that machine didn't actually record my votes for Sarah and Gene instead of Tommy and Susie? And in fact, the voter really has no way of knowing.
Right.
And at the end of the day, the voting officials can print out they can attach a printer to this electronic machine and print out the day's results, and it will say there are 87 votes for one candidate and 53 votes for another. And if somebody demands a recount, it will say 87 to 53, and it will always say 87 to 53, and there's no independent way of ever checking whether there was an error in the software or the greatest fear would be hacking.
The more
common would just be an ordinary software error or malfunction or crash of the computer, but there is obviously this specter of actual fraud and hacking.
I don't know if our producer down in Atlanta who you spoke with told you, but he crashed 7 voting machines in Atlanta, Georgia in the 2002 election, one after another, simply by trying to enter a write-in candidate. And all 7 of those machines had to be taken down and rebooted.
Yeah.
And
I heard of another example recently where in one polling place, the electronic machine had a drift. So the machine's screen kind of drifted over the course of the day. And when you thought you were touching on one part of the screen to register a vote for one person, it actually registered it somewhere else. This was not a malicious event. It was just one of those things that happened. Well, so anyway, that's the problem. And my best thinking on the subject was to give each voter an opportunity to verify that the vote is what she or he thinks it is. And the way we would do this under my bill is that each machine would also print out a record of what the vote is. And each voter can look at that and say, yep, that's my vote. And then that printed copy would go into a secure box, which would be available for recounts if necessary.
Right, audit. Yeah, okay. A couple of questions about this. First of all, I understand that in Nebraska, Chuck Hagel's home state, Chuck Hagel having been the former president of ES&S, the voting machine company, that he left the presidency to run for the U.S. Senate, which was counted on his own voting machines and won an upset in the primary and the general election. This was in his first election. And that has raised a few eyes, although nobody has accused him of anything other than maybe Charlie Vitolka. But I forgot where I was going now with that question. Let me get to another one. The current voting population figures of Germany are 63 million. There's 63 million voters in Germany. Typically, they have an 80% turnout. We have 200 million potential voters in the United States, as I recall, and we have typically, what, about a 30, 40% turnout, 50%?
That's right. In my district, 50%. In central New Jersey, we do a little bit better. It's nearly 50%, but that's...
Okay.
You know,
it still
hurts me just to think of those other 50% who aren't voting.
Yeah, so the numbers really are not that hugely different. I mean, we're talking about 80% of 63 million versus 50% of 200 million. We're still talking about millions and millions of people voting. And it's about a 1-to-2 ratio, I suppose you could say. And in Germany, when the polls... I lived in Germany for a year. I have some familiarity with this. In Germany, when the polls close, the results are available 30 minutes afterwards. They're available, however, from exit polls, which are done by news organizations. Because in Germany, when you vote by putting an X next to the name of a person on a piece of paper, which is hand-counted by volunteers in every single one of the precincts all across the country. It takes 4 days to compile the entire vote. It costs almost nothing because they've got volunteers volunteers or government employees who are otherwise, you know, doing other things except for those 4 days. So they don't have the billions of dollars that they have to give to these huge corporations like Diebold for these machines. It's unassailable. There's an absolute paper trail. When it's counted, it's always counted by, somebody from one party with somebody from another party watching. And the accuracy over the last 20 years of the exit polls versus the actual vote is 0.1%, which is much better than in the United States. Mm-hmm. In the United States, in these states where we had these electronic voting machines installed over the last 6 years, the exit polls have become so discordant with the actual vote as recorded by the machines that the exit polling companies are going out of business. Why don't we just go back to paper?
Well, I
like the
actually
Germans do.
Don't think that's necessary. I do agree that the old-fashioned paper ballot is quite reliable, much more reliable than the butterfly ballots, the punch card ballots, and so forth. But I think it is actually possible to have the convenience and speed of electronic voting without sacrificing the reliability and the voter confidence. My key point is to restore the voter confidence in the process. I mean, one of the reasons I got involved in politics relatively late in life is to try to restore trust in government. But I mean not just trust in the process of the making of laws, of governing ourselves, but also in the mechanism of this, the mechanism of democracy. And we know all across America, it just came to light in the last day with regard to California, we know that there are votes that don't get counted or get counted wrong. One of the problems with doing it manually with paper ballots is clerical errors occur. I've seen this,
sure.
I've only been involved in a few elections now in my life, but each one of them has had interesting stories to tell. But in one, I was declared the loser for a while because of a clerical error. Someone, attributed 9,000 votes to my opponent in one precinct. There weren't even 9,000 people who lived in that precinct, let alone voters. So, that was pretty easy to catch.
But, yeah. Well, raises...
clerical errors occur, and an electronic device does have the advantage of speed and accuracy of addition. In other words, won't have simple clerical errors. But what you must do, I think, is provide a way for the voter to verify that the machine is doing what she or he thinks it's doing.
Right, and I understand, and I agree with you, and I think that this is very important, and I'm all in favor of your bill. And I think that there are a few other questions here that need to be raised and that we all need to be thinking about. In Nebraska, I remember now where I got off on that sidetrack there with regard to Nebraska. After Hagel won that first election, that was done with these electronic voting machines, the state of Nebraska, which then fell to the Republicans, the Republican legislature passed a law that makes it illegal for any government official, including those who check the vote, to examine or handle paper ballots or any kind of paper trail. And I understand that there are other states that have since passed similar laws where even if your machine generated a receipt, it would violate state law for anyone to look at it. I assume that you're going to go after that.
This legislation deals with federal elections, and as you know, under the Constitution, each body of Congress, the House and the Senate, is the judge of the qualification and election of its members. So it's appropriate for the House of Representatives and the Senate, the Congress, to set the standards that will be used for electing those officials. Now, most likely, jurisdictions would use the same system for all of the elections, including the off-year elections and so forth. So whatever standards are set federally will probably apply to state and local elections as well. I don't want to get into conspiracy speculation about whether the voting machine companies are run by Republicans and therefore will be manipulated to favor Republican candidates or something like that. I have heard these arguments, and that's that's, I guess I would say, beside the point of what I'm talking about in this bill.
Yeah, I understand. But it, see, this also, if the goal of the bill is to restore voters' confidence in the system, and then I vote, I get a receipt, it says I voted for you, let's say, and your opponent wins, what assurance do I have that that piece of paper, that receipt that says that I voted for you, actually reflects the vote that was stored in the computer, number one, or the two, if there's any, you know, what are the thresholds for contesting the vote? I mean,
right.
You've got, for example, a situation where Walden O'Dell, who is the CEO of Diebold, you know, the company that makes so many of these voting machines, just 3 weeks ago sent out a fundraising letter on behalf of George Bush saying that he was, and I quote, committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president next year, end quote.
Yeah, then
you got the head of the voting machine company saying this. I don't, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. I don't think that these companies are stupid enough to get involved in this kind of thing. I do think that there's a problem with the possibility of insiders or hackers, you know, the things that you talked about. You've got also, you know, Frank Carlucci, you know, of the Carlyle Group is on the board of Populex. I mean, these kinds of things cause people to have concerns. Why have corporations involved in this at all? Why not, you know, if the vote is part of the commons and the job of the government is to protect the commons, why don't we have the government doing this process rather than private corporations? Representative Holt, we've got to take a break here. We've got hard breaks on this show that I can't control. If you can hold on
sure,
for
I'll
just
stay
a,
with
an,
you.
Great. We've got about a 4 minute break here, and then we'll have 5 or 6 more minutes and we can finish this up. So give you a chance to think on that. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Representative Rush Holt, Democrat of New Jersey, about electronic voting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether you've got bald tires, a flat tire, old tires, or are just tired of looking at white walls, there's no better time than right now to pick up a new set of Michelins. Because at Sears Auto Center, all Michelin tires are on sale at the lowest prices of the season. Every performance Michelin for cars, vans, light trucks, and SUVs. At America's number one store for Michelin tires, Sears Auto Center, the biggest Michelin sale of the season. Sears, good life, great price. Sale ends 9/23/03. Find us online at Sears.com or America Online keyword Sears.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm not going to wait for that bumper music to reach it, but that's The Machine. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Representative Rush Holt about that machine, those voting machines. And he has introduced a piece of legislation. It's H.R. 2239, is it? Representative Holt? Congressman Holt?
Yes.
What is it, 2239, is my memory right?
It's 3329.
3329.
Yes.
Okay, so much for...
Yeah.
I'll write that down. And
actually, I never think of it in terms of the numbers, so I had to stop and think on that.
Well, I think it's important for our listeners, if they're going to call their elected representatives and ask them to support this. My understanding is that to get a bill out of committee and really, you know, have some legs, you really need at least 150 to 180 sponsors. How many do you have for this so far?
I think it's 70-ish, something like that. We're getting more every day.
Oh,
this has taken on a life of its own on the Internet, on chat rooms and various places, because a lot of people, I think, grasp the essence of this very quickly. I mean, they understand, you know, voting is important to Americans.
Yeah. On the right and the left.
And, that's right, on the right and the left. And they immediately grasp the idea of how important it is that they know that it's working the way they want. Now, you had asked some questions before the break. Let me just deal with those real quickly. One is, you know, what about this paper record? This would go into a secure storage box. It would be kept the way the election officials keep all of the you know, the records of an election, and that would be the vote of record. So that if there is a recount, that is what you would count. You would count these paper, the paper record, and you'd have the convenience of the speed of the electronic reporting. But if there is something wrong, you would have the paper backup. Furthermore, my bill calls for 0.5% of all the jurisdictions to have surprise recounts. So that would just be a way of confirming that the machines are working the same, you know, as the paper trail shows that they are working.
Right.
And so I think that would work very well. I mean, people say the manufacturers of the machines especially are quick to come up with explanations of why this will be awkward and so forth. I think it is well worth the effort to make it work so that Americans will have confidence in their voting procedure.
Right. And our listeners should know that you're not naive when it comes to science. You're a physicist, are you not?
Yes, I am. Yes. I was a researcher and teacher before I at age 50, ran for Congress.
Marvelous. I'm very impressed. Do we need, however, you say, you know, the convenience. In Germany, it takes 4 days to count the paper ballots. We hold elections in November. People take office in January. The question in my mind is, why should we be handing over to private corporations the heart, the beating heart of democracy, when we have the means to do it with civil servants on paper?
Well, yeah, I certainly see your point, and there's a good case to be made for that. I think the voters, I guess Americans like instant gratification. I think it helps turnout if we have a quick outcome.
Yeah, although in Germany they have that within 3 hours of the polls closing from the exit polls. But I'm not trying to be adversarial here with you. These are questions that people ask me as well. I've got a couple of more, and we may have some callers here who'd like to speak with you. If you can hang on over this break, we'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman. We're speaking with Congressman Rush Holt. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The United Auto Workers has a tentative new contract with Daimler Chrysler, but the union's lips are sealed on details of the agreement. Announcing the deal yesterday, UAW President Ron Gettelfinger would say only that the contract sets the framework for similar pacts with other U.S. auto producers and their parts suppliers.
Our bargaining committees at General Motors and Delphi, at Ford and Visteon, will continue to negotiate. They will stay at the bargaining table until a tentative agreement is hammered out with those companies.
Gettelfinger has promised to hold the line on medical benefits as automakers seek to shift rising health costs onto workers. The UAW also hopes to win greater rights to organize workers in the auto industry's increasingly non-union array of parts suppliers. Meanwhile, pensions are playing an important role in the talks. According to the credit rating agency Fitch Ratings, U.S. auto-related industries ended the 2002 fiscal year with pension plans underfunded by more than a collective $30 billion.
Nike settles a false advertising lawsuit rather than risk the liability of a trial. Mark Caskey brought court action in 1998 under California's false advertising law, claiming Nike had lied to customers and the public about its use of sweatshop labor in Asia. Nike tried to have the suit dismissed on free speech grounds but lost in the state courts. Settlement talks began earlier this summer when the U.S. Supreme Court refused to rule on an appeal. The company will pay $1.5 million to the Fair Labor Association, which works around the world to keep tabs on sweatshop labor. It will also spend $500,000 at the factories of its Asian contractors to fund education programs and low-interest loans for factory workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune in to tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
the best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What are we gonna do with all these criminals? What are we gonna do about all these crimes? Where are we gonna put all this anger? Such a strange wind blowing and such strange times.
Strange times we're living in. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're speaking with Congressman Rush Holt, who has introduced House Bill, H.R., what does that stand for, Congressman Holt?
Yeah, it's H.R., and I have a correction here. It's actually 2239. I'm not sure what I told you before, but during the break I looked it up.
Great.
And
great,
as I say, I don't always think of these bills in terms of their numbers, but it's H.R. 2239.
The Voter Confidence and Increased Accessibility Act of 2003.
That's right.
Congressman Holt on for a few more minutes. If you have a question you'd like to ask, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Congressman Holt,
one more thought in here, too. You had asked the question of why not just use paper ballots. One reason to use electronic machines is improved accessibility for people with disabilities. And of course, that's a very important issue, to make sure that everyone feels enfranchised. And
for example?
If you're visually impaired, these electronic machines can actually be equipped with an audio output. So, you can put on a headphone and it can lead you orally through through the voting process.
But why should we pay Diebold Corporation hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, to provide this when we have civil servants who are already being paid and would gladly have for 200 years of democracy?
I'm just saying, why electronic machines, in some cases, they have some advantages over the old paper ballot. I certainly agree with you that the old paper ballot, the X on a sheet of paper, is not bad. It's a lot better than people give it credit for. But the electronic machines do have the advantage of accessibility for people who can't make an X on the paper, or can't see, or otherwise. And so that is one point to consider. In any review of the voting, the disability community is now very much involved, as they should be, because they felt that for years, to be physically disabled was to be in many ways disenfranchised from the process of voting.
Sure. Why is it then that we're providing the specifications that we want this, we want it to be something that can be used by people who are visually impaired or who can't hear, whatever it may be. The voting machine companies are building these things. The ones that Bev Harris has hacked, the Diebold ones, are being built on a Windows platform using Windows as probably their least secure database. And whenever anybody says, we'd like to look at your software, they say, trade secrets, we have Fourth Amendment privacy rights because we're corporations, because in 1886 the Supreme Court ruled blah, 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 which they didn't actually. But and why not just say, we'll buy the machines from you guys, but the software is going to be open source. Anybody can examine the code. Everybody's going to know the code, and we're going to have civil servants administer the entire thing and get the corporations out of the process after they've provided the hardware.
Well, in fact, one of the provisions of my bill would be that the software must be publicly available, and the source code has to be open. And
God bless you.
I think that would make a big difference.
That'll make a huge difference. It also takes some of the profit out of it, though, because it's no longer proprietary stuff. I mean, it's sort of like generic drugs versus brand name. You're getting a lot of blowback from the voting machine company.
And you've probably read some of the articles in recent weeks that some computer scientists have actually looked at some software from these electronic machines. They believe it's the latest edition of software, although some of the manufacturers say, oh, no, these are old editions. But in any case, the software that they were able to get their hands on and examine was just full of of you know, computer 101 errors, errors that made them, according to these computer scientists, vulnerable, very vulnerable to hacking or error.
Yeah, I'm very, very
Ari Rubin from Johns Hopkins called the code a comedy of errors. He said it would almost be funny if it weren't such a serious matter.
Yeah, I wrote the article, I think, that probably got the widest circulation. It was on Alternet, and then Common Dream, MoveOn.org sent it out to 1.7 million people on their mailing list, and then it got...
Oh, so that was yours, yes, I did see that.
Yeah, yeah, and then I wrote the original one back a year and a half ago about Chuck Hagel and Charlie Matulka that said, if you want to win an election, just control the voting machines, which is a quote from Hagel's opponent. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Nathan in New York is on the line with a question for Congressman Rush Holt, who we're speaking with. Nathan, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi. I wanted to ask if there's anything that people can do to try to promote this bill. I mean, I've been reading things on the Internet, and I read about the bill, and what can people do? I mean, I've called my representative. He's signed on. What else can be done?
Congressman
Holt. I would like to see more Republicans involved in this. There's no reason why this should be a partisan matter. In fact, quite the contrary. I think everyone who is interested in either democracy or electoral politics should want to have this this issue dealt with. And it, as so many things on Capitol Hill nowadays, I fear can become or will become a partisan matter. It shouldn't be. It'd be a shame if it did. But without more Republicans co-sponsoring the bill and pushing for its passage, it won't move. Because in the House of Representatives, the majority rules. I mean, there's no doubt about that. If the majority doesn't want something to come to the floor, it doesn't, with very few exceptions.
We have the president of Diebold now signing a fundraising letter and sending it out all across the state of Ohio on behalf of George Bush. Could it be that the Republicans somehow see this as a challenge to their corporate donors in the voting machine? I mean, that can't be that big a lobbying block, is it? I mean, it's not like Diebold has that much money to pass out.
I would think that there would be many dozens of Republicans here who would be independent of any such concern and would be willing to push this.
So your suggestion to Nathan in New York, then, is to contact his Republican elected officials, and if he doesn't have any, to contact all his friends, relatives, and neighbors who are Republicans and tell them to talk to their elected officials, because we need to light a fire out of the Republicans, because most of this stuff has just been, I mean, I've been writing these things on commondreams.org and Alternet, and they've been in what's viewed as kind of the left side of the Internet press, and it really hasn't been that much picked up by the right side of the Internet press, which frankly surprises me, because there's a very paranoid right out there that I would think would be flipped out about this.
As I say, there's no reason why this shouldn't be bipartisan.
Okay.
Quite frankly, I, with my own personal concerns about corporate malfeasance or worse in here, this legislation should not get tied up in discussions of whether Carlucci or Odell or Diebold or any of the other companies or individuals are up to no good.
I agree. It's a sideshow.
I don't want my legislation to be tarred with this conspiracy discussion. Whatever truth there may be to the conspiracy discussion, I think it's important that we get this significant flaw in the voting process fixed.
Yes, I absolutely agree, and I totally support your bill. I've got two callers here, Bob in Texas and Rob in Pennsylvania. Do you have time to take a couple of quick calls here?
Okay, a couple of quick ones, and I'll try to be briefer myself.
Okay.
Sorry
and
if I run
in fact,
on.
Well, that's fine, and we hit a break at 10 minutes before, so we'll just run it until that, if that's okay with you. Bob in Texas is called 1-800-TALK. Yes, Bob, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey.
Thanks, Tom. I actually, it's kind of a comment about the using the electronic voting. The good thing about electronic voting machines is they won't let you vote twice for the same candidate, and things are twice for two candidates for one office or something like that, thereby invalidating your vote. It makes sure every vote is validated, and then if you have it chuck out a paper trail there, then to me it's almost as perfect as you can possibly get.
I would agree. I think there are advantages to electronic ballots, as long as you can protect against this central disadvantage, which is you don't know what goes on inside that machine or out there in ether space. And so I think your comments are right on, Bob. You know, I was talking with someone from another state the other day, and he said, well, we've had these electronic machines for several years now, and we've never had a problem. And I said, how do you know?
Right. That's the $64,000 question.
Yeah.
That's the big kicker. And I want, you know, another thought I had was what if you just used the machines as fancy printers and had the machine generate a machine scannable ballot. In other words, you know, because the problem with the checking, the problem with paper ballots, as Bob just pointed out, is that you can mark two X's and now you've got a spoiled ballot. Or with punch cards, you can punch too many things. So the machine can prevent that from happening. Then the machine spits out a computer-generated printed ballot that clearly in English says this is the name of the person that you voted for, and over on the left has a dot in the appropriate place that it can be scanned, and then you stack those things up as cards. They could be the same physical size as the Chad cards, you know, the punch cards, and then you feed those through a simple reader. You've got your instant read, and the voter really and truly knows that this is their ballot, because what it's doing is not generating a receipt for something electronic that may or may not have happened. It's generating their ballot.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, that system that you describe, or an optical scanning system, qualifies under my legislation.
Great.
All that my legislation calls for is that each voter be able to see in hard copy what his or her vote record is.
Yeah, very good. 1-800-TALK, yes.
Yeah.
Pardon me for interrupting. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Rob in Philadelphia is on the line. Rob, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Congressman Rush Holt.
Hi, Tom. Congressman Holt.
Yes, Rob.
I've written a couple articles about this, too, and I've been nervous about the presidential election after what happened with Florida. It just seems that with people being the way there are so many risks of people playing around with it. I've also been involved in developing software, so I know how easy it is to get inside the code and play around with things. And I was at the forum on voting and the computer voting in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago that Lynn Landy's put together.
Oh, yes, good. I couldn't be there.
It was a great forum. And there, your representative mentioned that you had 40 people signed on. I think I heard you say you have up to 70 now.
Well, we're getting more each day, and I'm not sure of the latest count, but I got another one today, I think, and it's getting up there, but it's not. You know, I think Tom earlier said you need 150 or something like that, and I think that's basically right. We're probably less than half where I'd like us to be. With regard to co-sponsors, and quite a bit fewer among Republicans than I would like to see.
Well, 2 weeks ago, there were no Republicans on. Has that changed?
I've got three people who had expressed very specific interest, and I don't know whether they've signed on yet. Three Republicans, that is.
So far you have no. Boy, what can we? So Tom was talking about what we can do. Sounds like we've really got to go. I've already called mine. I've already written an article that was published in the local paper, the Bucks County Courier. We're next door to you over the river.
Yes.
And I've sent my copy of it to Jim Greenwood, and I haven't heard back from him. And he's a guy I would think would be involved in this. He's a neighbor, too. Have you talked to him?
I have not talked with him specifically. I wrote him a note about it, but I have not talked with him on the floor about it. But Jim is, you know, is a thoughtful person who would be a good person to have supporting this bill.
And then the other question I have is, what happens if this bill isn't passed in time? I'm real nervous about the 2004 elections. Are there any fallback positions, or do you think that this bill could be passed in time for the 2004 presidential elections?
Yes, it could be. At the rate it's moving, we'll have trouble getting it done in time to have it implemented for the 2004, but it was certainly my intention to do that. And if we don't have it passed, well, then I think we can know, and I'll even use a word that is that definite, we can know that there will be some votes that are not recorded or are recorded improperly. We just won't know which ones they are.
Congressman Holt, to what extent one of the things that's been getting a lot of currency lately is that in Texas, the machines recorded in one county, the two Republicans and a conservative judge all received exactly 18,181 votes. And to produce a random number generator, you have to seed it with something. And if you take 0.0055 and put it into your calculator and push the divide by one function, you get 18181 point, on into infinity. And there are folks who are saying, hey, this seems like somebody's running a random number generator here in some of these places, or the computer went off into space in that way. And this is being brought up in the context of what just happened in California. In the 20 seconds or so we've got left, do you see the California, this recent decision in the Supreme Court in California or the appeals court having anything to do with this?
Sure. I mean, because what the appellate judges, I'm not a lawyer, but what the appellate judges were saying is that you can actually disenfranchise voters by having unreliable voting techniques. And so it is very much related to this.
And we can't have that. Congressman Rush Holt, H.R. 2239, contact your local elected representatives, Democrat, Republican, or Independent. Do it. Call them. Tell them to support Congressman Holt's bill. Congressman Holt, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The people who brought you The Weekend, Michigan's unions, invite you to Labor Fest, a party for working families and our communities. Come to Ford Field, downtown Detroit, this Saturday, September 13th, noon to 6. It's free admission and includes tries for Guinness World Records, the world's largest picnic, and the world's largest postcard. Your kids can have an NFL player experience, enjoy marching bands, meet sports celebrities, and we have $5 Tiger tickets. Join us this Saturday, September 13th, free admission at the Detroit Lions Ford Field for the world's largest labor picnic.
For more info, go to miaflcio.org.
Henry David Thoreau said that there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. ReclaimDemocracy.org is striking at the deepest root of today's problems, runaway corporate power. We focus on proactive structural change to restore citizen authority over corporations and return them to their legitimate role, doing business and nothing more. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Tom
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping because that's where the dollars come from to save habitat.
You know, every time he gets done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
But because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging because I am.
I love the book, Ted.
Thank you. It's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Will you come down from your ivory tower? You will see how it really must be. When you come down, down, down from your ivory tower, you will see.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
The bill that helps you escape the matrix, putting the con in conservative, exposing the conservative lies.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to our program, to the very end of our program. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Montpelier, Vermont, and by Joe McPherson down in Marietta, Georgia, and engineered by the extraordinary Shar Jones at the IE America Radio Studios in Detroit. I'll just let you know about that. In our chat room, Albrecht Donay says, good news, in my state, Illinois has recently passed a law requiring a voter verifiable paper trail on all election equipment. How cool. This is great. This is why I have so much hope for this country. I really do. You know, yeah, there's a lot to complain about. Yes, I think that there's a lot that's being done wrong. Yes, I mourn the theft of democracy by big corporations and the cons out there. But they haven't got the whole thing yet. They haven't got this archetype will not die. The idea of a democracy, of a constitutionally limited democratic republic in which we, the people, are the holders of the power. We are the ones who hold this nation. We are the ones who are being represented by our representatives, our congressmen and congresswomen, our senators, our president. They are our employees. And yeah, I know it's a cliche and it's old and it's tired, and but it's true. And this archetype is so strong. I mean, 1989, I believe it was, Tiananmen Square, those people, 15,000 people marching, many of them to their deaths, holding a 36-foot-tall papier-mâché statue of the Statue of Liberty that they had renamed the Goddess of Democracy. The Goddess of Democracy. We are the beacon for the world for freedom. Those words that were written in 1776 still inspire people all over the planet. This is it here in the United States. And you get an idea out and people catch on to it. And Rush Holt is doing a marvelous job of this. spread the word, but maybe we're not in time for 04. But there's nothing that they can do that's going to end America, those cons. The conservatives can try as hard as they want to impose one-party rule. It's not going to happen. This country has more vitality than that. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. See you then.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Austria.
Penguin.